Hi, it's Evan.
And Amelia.
And welcome back to HBO Girls Rewatch Podcast. We have a really exciting episode for you. We are watching The Craxident, aka the one where the girls go to Bushwick.
It's kind of one of the most iconic
episodes. Iconic episodes.
When people talk about girls, they are almost always talking about this episode.
And it's so fundamental for people to go to a party. I'm just so excited.
It's so fundamental.
It's so fundamental.
No, yeah, this is what, episode 7?
No, this is episode number 7.
Okay, amazing.
It's kind of so exciting how fast we're going through this.
What's so exciting for me is waking up from going out and seeing that I responded to somebody saying that they thought an episode of Girls was really good, and me taking it as an episode of our podcast was really good, and me being like, thank you so much, and them leaving me a read.
Is this on Hinge?
No, this is on Instagram.
Oh, it's like on Hinge. Someone did. They were like, oh, are you the person from the up? I'm like, I recognize you from a podcast. And I go, oh my God, amazing. And it's like, you mean HBO Girls Rewatch Podcast? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I don't like it that much. I was like, okay, well, awesome. And then they asked me out on a date. And then, of course, they ghosted me before the date.
Stop.
It's like, wait, A, you recognized me from a podcast. B, you told me it wasn't that good. And then C, you ghosted me.
That's kind
of hell.
That's kind of the dream.
It's so funny. And he's being so aggressive too. He's like, every text was so absurd, more than last. And I can't wait for him to hear this. This is my reparations.
Yeah, fight back.
Hope he listens.
Okay, should we give a synopsis of the episode? Do you want to
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Names? Okay, I'll start it. So for this episode, we're starting off with three girls going to the party, Jessa, Hannah, and Marnie, and they're walking through Bushwick.
I actually looked it up. It's a 15-minute walk from our current apartment. But anyways, they go...
Oh, is it by, like, that ramen place?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Iki Ramen.
Absolutely.
That's so funny, of
course. People are going to map the way back.
You know what it probably is now? It's probably the Netflix studio. Because the Netflix...
Netflix probably bought out the Bushwick warehouse.
Because there's a Netflix studio right there now.
No, I think it literally is.
Okay, so this takes place at Netflix, but it's HBO.
Yeah.
Really exciting.
It's a crazy wild party. Hannah's like, I don't know if I'm meant for this. And Marnie is like, Charlie's going to be there. Charlie's band is playing. And then she runs into Charlie, has a conversation. Charlie has a new girlfriend. Marnie's like, oh my God, what the fuck? And then Hannah sees Adam there, finds out he's in AA. She doesn't know anything about this guy. Meanwhile, she thought she did. Jessa gets a random text from somebody who's like, hey, what you doing tonight? And she's like, yeah, come to this party. Has no idea who it is. It's Catherine Hahn's husband who's like needing a midlife crisis moment with Jessa. And then Shoshana's there. She's like, oh my God, Jessa, thank God you're here. I've been sitting in the corner for 2 hours talking to nobody. And she actually does crack. And then she runs away. And Ray, who's in Charlie's band and, you know, is part of the
cast, is now put in charge of her as Jessa is hanging out with her employer.
Yeah. So then Shoshana's running about town. Ray's chasing her. Hannah's talking to Adam, finding out all this stuff she didn't know.
Yeah. And then at the end of the episode, Marnie, so Hannah gets Adam's bike.
So nervous. I'm like,
Hannah gets onto Adam's bike, and then they're gonna go back to Adam's apartment, presumably. And then she like freaks out, and then Marnie comes in a taxi and picks up Hannah, and then she's like, "Do you want me to be your boyfriend?" Adam says that. And then they all end up in a car together.
Yeah, so the episode kind of ends with somebody going relationship official.
It's the thing with this show, it's terrible for someone with ADHD to try to explain it because there's so many cuts. There's no continual story. It's like four different stories going on at once.
It's vignettes of girls.
Yeah.
It's vignettes of girls.
I watch this and I'm like, it feels like Family Guy in a way where it's like you have little snippets of things. You know how Family Guy always has like cut scenes of like, Kermit.
As a rule, I don't really watch animation.
Yeah, but it's but it's like Kermit doing therapy.
You know, in a lot of ways, what you're saying is stupid, but I find it profound.
No, it's true.
It kind of is really that. Anyways, coming all the way from Los Angeles, they used to live here, but they actually moved to LA because son, I guess. I don't know. I put that on you. I'm projecting. They're super cool.
They're so
super
sunny.
Fun. So funny. They tweet for McDonald's, FYI. Just so you know. So you know how to treat them. It's like they're pretty big. They're pretty big. Give it up for Courtney O'Donnell.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh God, we're so happy
Thanks
to have
me.
You.
Thanks for having me.
That was so beautiful. And I felt like I could see inside your brain when you were trying to describe the episode. And like,
I was like, yeah, I understand. I'm following this actually, okay, this madness.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
That's actually really big for me because I can't even track what I'm saying half the time.
Right, right. You need a translator.
It's so hard. I'm not a storyteller. I'm a performer.
That's okay. You don't have to be both in not, this world.
And I hate when somebody's a storyteller too much. It's like, be something else.
Right, right.
No, literally. Yeah. I can talk about myself and that's about it.
That's great.
That's fine.
That's kind of Lena Dunham's story.
I think you guys did a really good job describing the episode. There is like a lot going on. It's very chaotic. Yeah. It's like...
I feel like I was at the damn party.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, do you remember watching this for the first time?
Yeah. So it first came out in 2012. And I'm like, just prefacing for the listeners, like a huge girl's head. Like I've probably watched it through like 5 times. And like,
whoa.
Is that a lot or?
Like, no, that's actually the same amount I've watched it through.
Okay. Well, I think we all sing.
I'd say it's on the higher end.
It's on the higher end.
Yeah.
Not to brag, but yeah, I like fucking love girls. So I probably first watched this episode in high school, like junior year, 2012.
And I just remember being like...
You were in San Diego or something.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Just chilling by the beach.
It's so cool that you like knew about dolphins as a kid.
Yeah, it definitely like made me stand out for sure.
I mean, did you see dolphins?
I guess.
It's so crazy because sometimes you don't always realize you're in a body of water with dolphins. And one time I was in South Carolina with my brother in the beach in Hilton Head. And I literally saw a thing come out of the water and I pulled everyone out of the water because I thought it was a shark, but it was just a dolphin.
Yeah, they're like really like aggressive in that part of the world. Like
no, literally. And they look like sharks.
This is actually a marine biology podcast now.
Marine girls.
Yeah.
Wait, it's so funny to see that they're like really dangerous in that part of the world. Like nobody refers to the state of North Carolina as this part of the world ever.
South. Yeah, that part of the world, that exotic neighborhood.
No, it is. Barrier islands are crazy places.
Yeah. Dolphins will just get up in you.
So today we're focusing on fungi and the coral reefs.
Oh my god. Yes, yeah. I one time watched Chris's name, Chris D'Elia. He performed at Tulane. That's where we both went.
Yeah.
He did 35 minutes, I'm not even joking, on dolphins raping somebody as
that
a joke.
That really
for
tracks
35
for me.
Minutes.
That's disgusting.
Isn't that insane? How did someone do 35 minutes on that, though? Of his whole hour long, they did 35 minutes about dolphin rape.
Was this like before he got canceled or like right
before? Right
before. I know one of the girls that canceled him and she got to 10K on Twitter and it was huge for the community.
I am so proud of her. That's amazing.
Yeah. Power to the girl.
He's like touring right now at like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. It's no worries at all.
Oh, is he back?
I kind of feel like he is.
Yeah, oh my God. It's like a Louis C.K.
Boys can do anything.
They're the best.
So let's do our little first segment.
Yeah.
What girl are you?
Oh my God. Okay. I was trying to think of the answer to this because I knew you would ask. I think that I, on a Venn diagram, I am in between Shoshana and Hannah.
Yeah. Have you always felt this way or have you come to realize this about yourself recently?
I think that maybe in the past I would have been like, I'm Marnie, but I'm not Marnie. Like, I'm not type A like that. Honestly, I'm not that annoying.
Say that.
But I now own my, like, girly. I think in the past I wouldn't have said I was Shoshana because I would have been embarrassed. But it's like, I'm a girly girl. Like, we're the girls here. Yeah. You know, like, we're for the girls. But I also have, like, Hannah's mental illness in me.
So that's where, like, I kind of feel like I'm in between the two of them.
And the mental illness is being, wanting to be heard.
Wanting to be heard, seen.
Yeah.
Kind of depression, OCD, kind of anything.
In a way, I feel like your stand-up presence is kind of like Hannah if she did crack like Shoshana did in this episode.
Or she did marketing.
Yeah, that
feels really
true. I feel
true.
Like that's accurate.
Okay. Yeah, it's Hannah doing marketing.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like Shoshana would see me at a show and like be like, think it's all real and like want to get like
Bobo with
can
me.
You,
after.
Can you explain your comedy like presence just like in a little bit for listeners? Or do you want I can describe it?
Yeah, you can describe it.
It's hard to describe yourself always, but I'm always like a marketing girl who's having a little bit too much fun.
Yeah.
A marketing girl that like just found out somebody she loves dies and she hasn't processed it quite yet.
And she has to go on stage. Yeah. Right. That sounds
how
amazing.
How does Zach describe it?
Zach said that it's like if a monster truck rally happened at a Madewell. Is how he describes it.
That's so perfect.
So, or if you put Mento in a Diet Coke can and shake it up.
Well, that's really good.
Yeah.
Do you feel manic in your normal life?
No. Nice. I'm not. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
well, not you're from like California.
I'm such a chill girl.
Yeah.
I'm like, should I look there?
There's a peace sign. Yeah. Just yeah.
We love to turn the camera like it's Fleabag.
Okay, so we do it week by week, but in general, I do think I'm a Shoshana Hannah who's wanting to be a Jessa. Uh-huh. And then Amelia's a Marnie.
I'm pretty much always a Marnie.
Hannah,
and
a little.
Also, if I have literally one sip of alcohol, I'm Shoshana through and through.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that.
Like, yeah.
You had your own car accident this weekend.
I really
did. What happened?
I got blackout at a Bushwick party.
Oh my God.
And it's like everybody there is 27, and I was acting like I'd never had.
And that is the oldest age you can be.
It
by
is.
The way.
It is. Well, anyone above that was killed.
Right.
No,
right.
Literally. Well, because Amelia, like, so Courtney. I both went to Tulane, very like party
Tulane's
heavy
like
school.
Big party school.
Yeah.
But Amelia never had ones about alcohol all of college. So when she got to Brooklyn, she's going through that delayed adolescence.
Right, right. We kind of got it done at 18.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You guys figured out about eating lunch and dinner before a night out. And I found right. that out this weekend.
Wow. I don't know if you feel this way, but like I got like all of the party now to me. I don't even drink anymore.
Like, I barely like, drink.
I'm I'll, done.
I still love the party, but in a sense where it's like, I'm going to go out for a really long time, but yeah. we're actually going to be dead sober except for like 3 Diet Cokes. I don't think if you drink Diet Coke, you're fully sober, but yeah. like you're close to it.
No, I literally have a Coke and go out and I'm like, I literally feel sugar high and it's like so fun. I'm like, I'm on Coke tonight. That's literally.
I'm on Coke, but I do it a little differently.
Yeah, it's different. It's kind of healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, what girl are you this week though?
My parents live in Westchester and I literally went home for 2 different holidays this weekend. I went for Passover and then I came back to the city. So Thursday I went home for Passover and then I went back yesterday for Easter, even though my parents were like were Jewish and my aunt who converted to Judaism also came. But like we didn't even talk about Easter, but like we ate a brisket. Shoshana's just so like girl, family girl, oh. like would 100% like keep going back and forth from Long Island all the time to see her family. And I'm sure you guys don't talk about it in the show, but she's constantly going home.
Speaking of college, I used to like I don't know about you guys, but like I just got so sick in college, like all the time.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, would just get like the worst flu imaginable, and then it would be like there'd be like a date party or something.
No, literally.
And I would literally go and be like, give me medicine and like give me a steroid shot. And I'd be like fine by the night and like go.
Well, you have in college you're rallying all the time.
Wait, whoa.
But so New Orleans, Tulane's in New Orleans, and mm-hmm. every single Mardi Gras, I would get so I got whooping cough my last year. I swear to God, I had a cough for 2.5 months. And like
jealous.
It was like bad because you never
so
actually
bad.
Healed because you were just
no,
going
you never
out
heal.
So
you're still going out after Mardi Gras and you're still doing your full class load, which isn't as a marketing
well, for
person,
me that
wasn't.
Was debatable.
Did you do marketing?
No, I was a political science and English major.
Oh my God.
But I just like it's like it was a runny joke with my friends, like I couldn't get up for like an 11 a.m. class.
No,
like,
literally.
It was so hard for me.
I couldn't.
It's beautiful.
I took art history. I only went for all the tests, and then I would also cheat on all the tests because I had double time. So she instead of putting me with like and when you have double time, they put you in like a different classroom, like where they have people monitoring you. But she was like, you can just take in my office. So just like me alone in our office for 2 hours, like, and my iPhone.
My iPhone. We're sponsored by iPhone. The way you said that, like you would have said phone.
We actually are required to leave our phones on the table just so the video.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Let's jump into the episode. I'm liking this
part right here.
It's where we talk about our favorite part.
I also want to say while we're looking at the camera, this is not wine. It's homemade kombucha.
Yeah. Well, I make kombucha and actually right now off camera, I'm making kombucha leather and I'm going to make necklaces out of it.
Yeah. So stay tuned for that.
I'm gonna
part
wear
of the podcast.
Next episode. We all make kombucha necklaces in the next episode.
I'm like, I don't know why it like itches.
Oh God. Okay. Favorite moment.
Okay. So I would say my favorite moment is the chasing sequences. It's just so funny with Shoshana on literal crack running through the streets of Warehouse, Brooklyn, Bushwick, the wrong side of Bushwick even. Like there's 2 sides of Bushwick. She's in a warehouse half, which is like the way scarier half where no one actually like lives, but there's like 4 businesses that like sell rice and like packaged goods, which is so crazy.
A t-shirt warehouse?
No, literally. Yeah. It's like the t-shirt warehouse. It's like some random coffee company that like doesn't even serve in New York, but like somehow their services is there. It's so crazy that area. And her and Ray chasing her through the streets and being like, I'm your crack spiritual guide. And I like the way they cut in between it. It's like Hannah talking to Adam, cut to Shoshana. And then it's Marnie and Elijah, and then cut to Shoshana running through streets. It's just amazing to have that like flow going through
it's
all
of it.
It's kind
of amazing that they chose to do scenes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I had to. It's kind of amazing. They were like, we're going to do some cuts here. And shout out to the editors.
Yeah, that. I know. You know, a lot of shows, and by that I mean like one or two, have done continuous shots.
Right.
And
they, shout out to 1917. Yeah.
And they chose to just kind of cut between them.
Right, right.
No, yeah. I love when Shoshana just suddenly loses her skirt.
Yeah, you're like, okay, fine.
And I'm like, some time has passed.
Oh my god, a tan bodysuit that she's wearing underneath that makes her look so naked.
I have one issue with Shoshana's character is that I really don't think like anyone dresses like that.
I don't believe any girl dresses like that, but also people were dressing really
crazy. We don't know what 2012 looks like, so I think it's actually really brave to say that.
Right, because you weren't born.
Well, I wasn't. Then. Well, we weren't born.
No, but I really don't think people were.
I really don't think it was that, but you have to exaggerate for TV, I guess.
Right, right.
I don't know. The weirdest outfit was Marnie's fucking ball gown dress to wear to a Bushwick space.
That, yeah, that was hilarious. Well, I think she looks like she's in Sorority Rush.
And she's on like the like business formal day.
Oberlin Sorority, it's like, Rush. Yeah, it's very so perfect. Business
formal.
Yeah,
which it always is. But it was just like, girl, it's like Jessa in the feathers. I'm like, finally, some peace.
Yeah, of course. Like, of course she's gonna wear like a costume. Here.
And meanwhile, Hannah's in like Rue 21. Everything. Yeah. It's like, how is that possible that you got a shirt that is pajamas?
Yeah, something really ill fitting.
No, I love it. Favorite moment. I am loving the moment at the very end. Marnie and Adam, or not Marnie and Adam, imagine.
Okay, we ship them.
Yeah. Hannah and Adam are like fighting, kind of. And then Adam's like, what do you want? Do you want me to be your boyfriend? Uh-huh. And then it just cuts to like them in the taxi with Adam's bike in the middle. And like Hannah like smiling like, oh my God, I have a boyfriend. And then Adam being like, oh, girls are crazy.
Also, how did a bike fit in the car?
I know, yeah. The science behind that. And then Marnie being like, Marnie truly... The funniest part is Marnie being like, step away from that girl, you crazy boy. You're a psycho, Eve. I know you're perverted.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. And Hannah's like, I'm actually in love.
Yeah.
But then Marnie just having to like accept that this is Hannah's boyfriend now.
It was so funny because Hannah, he's like, do you want to come to like the scrapyard with me? And she's like, I can't. I'm here with my friends. And then the next scene, she's just getting on his bike. Like, it is so Hannah, just like.
No one rides bikes like that anymore.
No, yeah. I do feel like I see some people do that with city bikes, like sit.
But
yeah.
It's mostly like teens.
They're brave.
Okay, so my favorite moment is when Marnie is like to Charlie, and she's talking to Charlie at the beginning, and she's like, I'm just so glad you could like really find satisfaction outside of our relationship. And like she's kind of like dressing him down, and then the little like nymph girl comes and like jumps on him, his new girlfriend. And she's just like, what the fuck? And I thought it was so fucking funny. And like, the girl doesn't know about her. And
she's like, am I supposed to?
Yeah. And she's like, oh, are you a real housewife? And actually, like, literally the same exact thing happened to me in college.
Really?
Yeah.
Which character?
I was the Marnie, which is so sad.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But obviously, I didn't know that at the time. Like, when I rewatched it in college, I was like, I feel so seen. So, yeah. I start crying. Yeah.
Wait, what happened in college?
It was just like I broke up with my boyfriend because I was like not into him anymore. And I was like, oh my God, he's probably like so sad. Like I remember it's so embarrassing. I remember like texting his roommate being like, hey, like can you check in on him? Like I want to make sure he's okay.
Oh my God.
So fucking, I was really sad too because I didn't think I realized like, oh, when you break up with someone, you actually can't talk to them anymore.
That's totally. And then he got a new girlfriend. Like 2 weeks later, and they're married with a kid now.
No.
Yeah.
Wait, Courtney, Tulane no. Alumni?
Yeah.
Wait, has anyone been to a party in a warehouse?
I feel like I thought I was going to go to more parties like that, and I don't think I have. I did go to, there was this space that people had like comedy shows at. It was like pre-Life World vibe, but it was like a skate park in a photography studio in a warehouse. And that was very much like this party, you know, just like lots of spaces, like. On some like unnamed street in Bushwick.
Oh my God, so Bettycore. Did you ever watch that show?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that, and like, that was always funny because I was like, they're gonna find out I'm like not supposed to be here. Yeah, like, and I was wearing kind of like, I was like, I guess I'll wear like baggy clothes.
Totally. I went to Club Video and it felt like.
Which is like a video festival.
Yeah, or like local a small comedians. Festival where like you submitted truly sketch comedy videos. Like that's the most nerdiest thing in the world. And then it was just like an event where you watch them all. And it was like in some like garage in Bushwick and it was like packed to the brim. They were like handing out shrooms and poppers and like making burgers in the back. while playing like sketch videos. And I was like, oh my God, my life is like girls. Yeah. This shit's crazy. The burger flipper guy was yelling at some other guy and we thought it was a joke and then it was real. I was like, I'm in a movie.
That is my life is a movie moment. Yeah. No, what the episode of this girl's episode is missing is like a room where people are doing stand-up comedy.
Stop.
I did feel like that. I didn't feel represented in a lot of ways.
And you think a Bushwick party should have stand-up comedy?
Yeah, but it should be really bad.
So, okay, that's a really cool point because I've actually, all the Bushwick warehouse parties I've ever been to, I've never seen stand-up comedy and like, there should be a third space.
No, right.
There needs to be more third spaces. Just like we have coffee shops in everyday society, we should have comedy shows inside parties.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, place for people to chill.
Yeah, work on your new stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it's an open mic, actually. Yeah.
Like, what if there was a party where there was comedy? Okay, an open mic. What if we all just hung out?
Every time I'm going to a party in a warehouse, which isn't... Okay, I think when they market you New York before you move here, they're like, you're going to be partying in warehouses.
Right.
And a warehouse is actually just a really nice concert venue that like you have to like get a wristband for. And the wristband's like, also your credit card.
Yeah.
No, there's only that one place that's doing that synagogue in the Lower East Side.
Sorry.
Know your history?
I fucked up. This is just like the cha-cha matcha thing.
What about it?
On an earlier episode, I was like, it's like cha-cha matcha. And Evan was like, that's only in Manhattan. Kill yourself.
Well, there was one in front of the Williamsburg Hotel. There was a cha-cha matcha, but now it's a bodega, which is like insane to have reverse gentrification.
Right, reverse.
I think the cha-cha matcha, like the grip it had on us, it we lost it.
Oh my God. Yeah.
The jig is up with matcha. You know?
And it's like when people are still in their matcha era, I'm like, I have to wonder.
Yeah.
I know a former employee of Cha-Cha Matcha and the stories they can tell you. People are like, you can make a career at Cha-Cha Matcha doing anything you want in this world because you'll meet the right people.
Oh, that's interesting.
And Brandy Melville. Brandy Melville in New York City, you can build a career in fashion so easily through Brandy Melville in Soho. No. I know groups of girls who now all work for a parade, are full-time models, and they all started off as a friend group at Brandy Melville.
I see, like, I feel like a friend group at Brandy, like, that is the next evolution of, like, if we had a girls today, it would be,
like, girls that work at Brandy Melville. No, truly, and they would be the nastiest people you've ever met.
Wait, that's an amazing TV show.
I'm writing a pilot right now. I'm calling my agent.
because I think that's like very much like represent or Aritzia Girls, because Aritzia, that is like a culture in with
that's
itself.
That's such a good TV show idea. Wait, you should write it.
Okay, I'll do it. But yeah, wow, I didn't know that was such a like ladder for young women.
Like just like we have community inside comedy.
Yeah.
You can build community inside of Brandy Melville / Aritzia.
Oh God, I'm dying to go spend $200 there soon.
Yeah.
Well, I think the reason they're making the community is so strong there is because they're actually not really helping you. Like especially Brandy Melville
community,
right? They're actually talking because
you're with whoever's shopping there at that time. You guys have to work together to try and figure out.
No. They're not talking to those people.
No, they're not talking to you. Like they're just like even when you go to check out, like they don't even say like anything. They're just like
they don't have enough time to talk to you because they're building community.
Right.
Totally. Wait. Oh my God. Do you hear that? Do you hear that sound?
Oh my God. Wait. I think it's quote o'clock. Okay, now here's your time to shine.
Okay.
I wrote down almost every line that was said in this episode.
Yeah.
So this segment's going to be a long one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when Hannah's talking to Taco at the bar.
Yes.
Taco with a K.
Yeah, so...
They go Taco with a K. And then Hannah's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, how do you pronounce it? They're like, it's the same. I can just usually tell when someone wants to pronounce it with a C. And it's just so fucking funny. Like, I don't know why. I think it's like one of the best
lines
of dialogue
funny.
From the whole show.
Because it's also just like, it's not like hee-hee, isn't this funny? It's like, no, you can tell when somebody says taco and they're imagining a C. Like, you can tell it on their face.
Yeah. Or just someone, like, they were very, like, particular about their name.
I know.
And, like,
what did they say after it? It's not a big deal. It's just something that's important.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, it's no worries, Hannah. It's just something that's really important to me.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I love it. And that's, what's her face? Lupe from A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
Do you guys like your names?
I used to not like my name, but I think it fits me well now.
I think Courtney's the perfect name for this girl.
Oh my God, stop. And it's actually Courtney with a C because I can tell when people think it's with a K. Yeah. So I really wanted to say that for the viewers.
I can't wait to meet
you. Do have, you that. Walk in here, you walk in and you have Courtney with a K energy almost.
Yeah.
Maybe that's your on stage persona is Courtney with a K. Oh, real life. Mm-hmm. She's Courtney with a C.
Right.
That would make a lot of sense. Almost Kardashian coded.
Yeah.
That's like my onstage persona is 23, but in real life, I'm 24.
Yeah, that is so true.
This is a huge writer's room for you.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm leaving here actually. Like,
yeah, two packets. Right. You got a lot to work with.
Yeah. I have a new character. Yeah. Working on. Do you like your name?
I like my name. I really hated Amelia growing up. Mm-hmm. I like didn't want anybody to see my like name tag in elementary school because they would realize my name.
Oh, and you have an A name.
Oh, did you go by Amy a lot?
Yeah, I went by Amy my entire life. And then when I moved to Canada, I was like, I have to change everything about me.
Yeah.
I have to be a new girl. And so I became Amelia and I've never looked back.
I think you're such an Amelia.
You're such an Amelia.
Anybody who knew me before Amelia is always like, are you kidding?
Because something about you, if you were to fly a plane, you would crash it.
Well, okay, it's funny because the first Amelia that came to my head was Amelia Bedelia. Did people say
I have
that
a poster
too?
Of her in my room. Well, she invented quiet feminism.
Well, the first time I met one of the first times I met Amelia, I thought, I was like, you have the perfect name for an orphan.
Yeah, you did.
It still rings true.
That's a really interesting thing to say to someone upon meeting them.
Yeah, kind of my introduction to Evan was being told that my name would be perfect for an orphan. And right. I said, I want to live with this person.
Yeah. You're like, let's make a podcast right now. Do you like your name?
No, but I don't dislike it. I was like, I sometimes go by like Ev. Mm-hmm. Just to be like, I think names are so reflective. And mm-hmm. it's like, as I explore my gender too, it's like, is my name necessarily reflect how I feel? And I don't always know.
Yeah.
But also it's like, you build such a brand around your name. So changing your name also can have negative repercussions.
Okay. A quote I loved was, I loved when Jessa was like, this is amateur hour. And Hannah was like, totally. Because it's like, Jessa's been to a million of these events. And Hannah's like, I don't even know what it is like to be alive.
Right.
And so Jessa's like, oh God, I'm bored already. And Hannah is so overstimulated and overwhelmed. She's just like, totally, Jessa. Yeah, this is so chill. And I'm bored too.
Yeah, like this is just another Friday night for Jessa.
Totally. Yeah. And then also, okay, the quote.
Well, just to speak on that quote really quickly. Like last weekend, I brought my friends from Westchester to this bar called Mood Ring. And Mood Ring is actually one of the most Bushwick spaces you can actually attend. It's kind of music with no words. Well,
yeah,
just,
and
like,
they were like, that was unhinged.
Well, and I think because Bushwick, you need time to adjust to it in a way where it's like your first time, you're not going to get it. And then you keep listening to it. What's a Camp Rock thing or Demi Lovato? It's like the first time. Oh, it's what's her name? The girl puts her hair behind her.
Oh,
Debbie Ryan.
She's like, the first time you hear it, you're not going to get it. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the whole thing with Bushwick. The first time you go there, you're not going to get it. Yeah. And then every time you go there, subsequently, you learn a little bit more about the damn place.
Right. And then you kind of feel like you've got it all figured out.
Yeah, 100%. And to tie the perfect quote to it, it's like, Marnie is like, I'm never coming to Bushwick again. And it's like, I've said that so many times.
Yeah. See, I say that about Williamsburg. So like, I had this joke, I would be like, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. It's about like me having to go to a birthday party in Williamsburg. Like truly every single person has their birthday party there. And like, if you live in like South Brooklyn, getting there is hell. It's like the G and it never works on the weekends. So to Williamsburg is my Bushwick.
Does that do well in LA?
I don't think I haven't done there. I keep it for, you know.
You keep it when you go on tour.
Yeah. It's a Milwaukee joke for
it's
sure.
It's a Milwaukee joke. They would get it there. Yeah. Sorry, I took your quote o'clock time.
Oh, I love when Jessa is like, you smoked crack. And then Shoshana's like, OMG, don't tell my mom. Don't even tell me. That was the most relatable thing. Like when I was growing up super religious and then I started being a bad girl, every time I did anything, I was like, oh my God. Like I fully didn't believe in God anymore, but I was like, oh my God, I'm going to hell. Oh my God, like the world is about to crumble. And so like Shoshana's panic of like, my mom's somehow going to know and she's going to be upset is like so relatable.
Mel is going to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mel.
And what if she tells other Mel?
Oh my God, both Mels. That was so funny.
Hell. Okay, and then also when Jess is like, oh God, I gotta go talk to Catherine Hahn's husband. Like, can you watch her? And Ray's like, I don't want to. And she's like, all you have to do is make sure she doesn't jump off a roof or get fingered by a beatboxer.
Yeah, that's so
good. I'm like, that is so funny. And not to bring it back to like me being Shoshana, but in college, I absolutely got like wasted one night and let some guy finger me in the center of a bar. And it was like, yeah, I wish somebody had stopped that.
Right, right. You wish you had a crack spirit guide at that point.
Yeah, I wish Ray was
I wish
around.
You were on crack.
He would have, like, totally protected you from that. Totally. Even though that's still kind of, like, maybe it's hot.
He would have fingered
like,
her.
Yeah. No, he would have been like, I'm a gentleman.
It wasn't hot. I wasn't in, like, a space of people my age. It was, like, everybody was, like, a 33-year-old improv comedian.
Right.
And I was, like, 20 and, like, needed somebody to guide me. And everybody just kind of was like, we're going to let her do her thing.
Right.
Ew. Toronto's actually worse than you think.
I went on a date with him after the fact, yeah. Being like, maybe it was really cute. Maybe I wasn't. Maybe it's fine.
Maybe physical touch is his love language.
Yeah. And we like played billiards and had a beer. Like, and I was like, oh God, you're a Republican, but yeah. The Canada version.
What is the Canada version?
I don't even. A boily?
Mm. You know what?
That's gross. Wrong.
Our Canadian listeners are going to shoot you in the face.
You know what that reminds me of? That one time I was at Tulane. We keep bringing it back there.
One time in college.
But we were a big thing in New Orleans is that you get like an old school bus and it's a party bus. Mm-hmm. But it's like with a weirder friend group. And they all were like dating guys in military bases. They were literally five people fucking on the bus.
No, they...
They were all fucking the military guys on the bus.
Yeah, because they only got to see them like every like 5 months and they had to like fit in like a relationship worth of intimacy.
No, 100%. And then the one gay guy there took all the guys' t-shirts because all the guys had taken off their t-shirts.
Yeah.
I guess, and then threw them out the window.
Oh my
God. All these guys were shirtless for the whole night. I grabbed one as it flew out the window, but all four of them flew out. It was truly insane to watch.
That's so funny.
I had a terrible time.
It sounds like it wasn't that fun.
Okay. My favorite quote is when Jessa is like with, I don't know the husband's name, but she smashes the bottle down and she's like dissing those, she's dissing the, what is she calling? Crusties or something?
Oh, the Crusties.
Yeah. They're like, you're going to reduce us to a subculture and not even have the subculture?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's so funny. And then she goes like, I bet you were born on a dirt floor. It means I don't think you're cool and I think your mom's poor. Yeah.
And you're like, what did you say?
Yeah, just such a like fucking specific diss.
She's
and I love
so
her.
Good at it.
She's actually really powerful. And you see in this episode, like she's not just some like she has wisdom.
No, she's Azalea Banks of HBO.
The way she like is smiling. Smiling at Shoshana, she's like, I'm gonna help my little cousin have a safe night tonight. Or like even with Hannah and Marnie being like, I'm gonna like guide you, I'm here for you, like we've got this. And then the way she's taking care of the dad and she's like, it's okay if you don't know what you want to be when you grow up.
Yeah,
like she's being wise.
I think though, like for me it's like I see it that she had to grow up at a really young age.
Oh no, it's
and
like
so that's the reason.
When the guy tries to like fuck her and is like, you're such a tease, and she's like, I can't do this anymore. It's like she's spent all this time trying to like fix men in hopes that they'll love her so she can like heal her relationship with her dad who like wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, no guy's ever gonna do that.
Yeah, I also feel like there's just this pattern in girls with Jessa where these men like project their ideas. The idea of who they think she is onto them, like with the older man that she goes to rehab with. And then there's like that guy she dates with Minnie Rose. Minnie Rose's like ex-boyfriend dates her. And there's just like, I just think there's this pattern of like, it's like these guys that like see her as this like sort of like
100%.
Manic pixie dream girl. And this, I feel like this captured it really well. Cause it's like this older man going through a midlife crisis. And like, he's like, I'll just go to the warehouse party with my, you know, babysitter.
Yeah, it's so gross.
It's like you work for my kids.
I feel so glad that she's like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be so sad to have to watch her be like, okay, sure.
Yeah. No, she would never.
She would never.
Hannah would, probably.
And Hannah would.
Yeah.
I mean, if we throw it back to the last episode when she tried to fuck her boss.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that crazy girl.
Well, Hannah's always doing it for the plot.
Right for the plot.
Oh yeah, which brings us to the end of the episode when Hannah's like, why did you never tell me you're an AA? Mm-hmm. And then Adam's like, you never ask about me, like you don't know anything about me, you don't want to know anything about me, you just like want to have weird sex and then go write about it in your diary.
Yeah.
It's like, go off, Adam.
That's such a good line. Yeah, I think it's like very, it's like the first time you see, isn't it the first time you see Adam outside of his house? And it's also like the first time you see him as like a human, not through Hannah's eyes.
Well, yeah, I bet he's making kombucha leather.
He's making so much kombucha leather. Like,
if anyone in that show is
anyone. Oh my God, there's so many quotes in this episode. We do 400 hours on this.
I have one more.
Okay, I'm going to let you do it.
Okay, it's when
Shoshana knees Ray.
Oh my God, yes.
And then she's like, do you want me to massage your groin in a non-sexual way?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Well, and then the line after that. Oh, sorry. No, you go.
Oh, I don't even know what the line after
is. Well, the line after that is like, I learned in a physical therapy class. I took it so I could meet jocks, but actually it's just a ton of Indian girls.
That's so Shoshana.
It's also like, it's fun because I forgot that that was the first like time that Ray and Shoshana meet. And yeah. I think it's like,
it's kind of sweet.
It's representative of their relationship where she kind of frees him from a lot of his like rote
neuroses. Yeah.
Routine and neuroses. And she's kind of this like firecracker.
I love when she's like, sorry, I kicked you in the balls. It was probably the crack. And he's like, it's definitely a crack.
Listeners, you're going to want to go to video form when Courtney says firecracker because those eyes do something fun. You're gonna want to look at that.
And this is a reminder, everybody. We have the video on Spotify, and we also have it on YouTube. So if you want to be on your phone while listening to the podcast, put it on YouTube on your laptop, and then you can play Candy Crush and scroll Instagram on your phone.
That is so. You're really helping people with that. You're really helping people with that.
So that's thank you. Thank you for seeing
I just. Us. It's like, you know, I want a way to play Candy Crush while I listen to my girls' podcast.
No, 100%.
This is what you just gave us.
Okay, we've gotten to the part of the podcast called
That Outfit in Brooklyn.
That is the ugliest effing skirt I've ever seen.
This is our cultural analysis part. What about it was 2012? How has the world changed as a culture?
Well, I think we kind of mentioned it earlier, but like the outfits for sure.
Oh God!
100%.
The what's his? What's her face?
The like,
Charlie's new girlfriend with the headband in the middle of her forehead.
And Marnie's like the Navajo is climbing him.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
You're done.
That was definitely we're not gonna be saying that today.
I can't believe she said that.
Elijah's in this episode.
Oh yeah,
and we didn't even bring him.
I know. There's so much, but he slaps Marnie in the face, which is
such a funny slap.
It's hilarious.
Watching it, I was like, he didn't even touch her.
Right. I don't think that.
That's like something that wouldn't happen today, but I feel like there would be some sort of like think piece on it.
And I think Marnie would
like
back.
Like violence against women.
You're absolutely right. I also feel like Elijah type of gay doesn't exist anymore.
No, it does. Sorry. You're just not look. You live in Brooklyn. You haven't been to Hell's Kitchen in
months. Yeah, I was
about
to say, get on the L, girl.
Okay, I'll get on
the L. Get on the L, honey.
I've got some stuff to learn.
Go to Chelsea.
Ray, when the band ends, rather than like
so annoying.
Follows on Instagram, Ray is like, get the baby out of here.
Yeah.
He doesn't belong here, but then he just like says in such a like, if you want to see more, we're at questiontablegoods.tv.
Yeah, like some their own website that they created for $20,000.
It's like,
oh, also at the end when she shows up in the cab.
Oh, I just have to say the drop pin. When Marnie's like, Hannah, send me your drop pin. And then she gets there somehow in the taxi to the drop pin. It's like, that's sharing your location now. I can't believe, I did not know that in 2012 you could send a drop pin.
It's impressive that she did that because even Find My is kind of the new frontier.
Find My iPhone?
Yeah, Find My iPhone, but
that's a prison.
Wait, is it a different thing? Find Your Friends and Find My iPhone?
No, it's called Find My now, and it's like Find My Item, Find My iPhone.
Oh,
Find
yeah,
My
yeah. Friends. It's just like they different lumped all together. Yeah.
I actually have 100 people on Find My Friends. I don't think I'm exaggerating at all. And it's insane that they all know where I am at every point.
There's like some people who kind of like abuse that.
Like, oh, I think 100%. Like they'll be like,
where were you? Like, I really think it's creepy when someone's like, I saw that you were like near me or earlier. It's like, why did you know that?
Well, they know where you are at all times. And then if you're like doing, like, it's so crazy. They're like, I know where you are. Like, you can't be doing something secret too when you're like, oh, I'm not going to the party. You actually go to the party and you have your location.
Yeah.
You can't just be stealth.
We have a surveillance.
We do.
And we're
self-imposed. Even.
Self-imposed.
And we're doing it through friendship first. Mm-hmm. So we normalize it.
Or sometimes like when I'm like, this person isn't responding to me. And I like, look, they're Find My Friends. I'm like, they're at 100%. Home. And I'm like, There's no excuse.
And also navigating, like, do I stop sharing my location with this person I don't speak to anymore?
Oh, I see.
Does it
do
give
that.
Them a notification?
Yeah, yeah,
that's like, okay.
When I'm from LA, there's like random people in LA that have my location, and I'm like, well, I'm never gonna stop sharing because that would be insane.
Right, that would be so mean.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, they know where I am at any moment, and I haven't spoken to them in a year and a half.
Right. Like, you wouldn't even like text them happy birthday, except they like know where you are at every moment. Yeah, that's sort of beautiful.
Well, that's Snap Maps was really insane and it's when it first came out, because it was like you couldn't even pick it. It was everyone that you're friends with on Snapchat, which could be like 400 people have your location at all times.
I have one more thing that is like so 2012 is that like Jessa still has a flip phone.
It's and so I'm hot. Like,
come on.
That's so cool.
We had like iPhones at that. You could have even had a BlackBerry.
She's like, I don't tend to save numbers.
Yeah, I don't tend to save
numbers. I'm like,
you couldn't. It's hard to save a number on a flip phone because you gotta type all those numbers.
But I guess Jessa probably isn't the type of girl that would have had like, she probably doesn't want to be in constant communication.
No.
No, she wants to have secrets.
I don't think Jessa would have her location turned on.
No, absolutely not.
She'd be somebody who stopped sharing her location, and Hannah would be like, why'd you stop sharing your location with me? And she'd be like, shut up.
Yeah.
Wait, I just wrote a spec script. Wait, that's really good. Judd, I'm available.
Yeah, we're a writer's room here. Yeah.
Wow. We should write a spec script.
Oh, when Shoshana's running, she's like, this is a really fast mile. I'm burning a lot of calories.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
It's so, so funny, but it's like, teens today don't think in calories.
No, they do.
No, we've moved past calories.
No, they're still thinking calories.
Okay. Well, not people who follow Kate Glavin, because they know that, like your body processes stuff at different rates. Like calories are just too, it's not good science anymore.
So what are they following? What are they?
I think it's kind of macro vibes. Mm-hmm. They're really focused on macro, and they're really focused on like exercise, but not in terms of calories burn, more in terms of like minutes.
Right.
It seems kind of like watchification of society.
That is so true.
Like people are counting their steps now, not their calories necessarily.
It just seems like it's like the same font, different color.
Absolutely.
You know, but sure. That's great and beautiful. And I also, she's great. I love her Hokas.
Yeah. Okay, in closing, is there anything you want to say about girls? I mean, it's had a huge impact on your life. How do you think it's like impacted your understanding of like why you moved here?
Yeah, I think that like I felt a lot of like the pain points that they felt about living in New York, like how hard it is, and those like friendships and how they change and evolve. Like most of their friendships are from college, and I feel like I've experienced that in the last couple of years, like how you go separate ways with people, but you always like remain like intact and close, but it's just a different relationship. And I think I really connect with Hannah at the end of season 6 when she decides to like move away and like start a new chapter. And so I'm in that kind of period of my life, and I think like, yeah, it's like a time capsule.
Wow.
Wait, that's a perfect way to end the podcast.
Yeah, that was really powerful. Yeah.
And I love girls. I think like it's such a special show, and it's like such a comfort. And we love Lena Dunham.
I feel like I just remembered words have meaning.
So in many ways I'm a poet.
Yeah. If there's one thing we learned today, you're a writer for sure.
Right.
I'm a writer. All mediums.
Exactly.
And actress.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Love you guys.
If people are obsessed with you, where can they find you?
Oh, please follow me on Instagram. You can follow me on TikTok and come see me in LA.
Please. And then also write in. We are thinking of doing a girls trivia night in Brooklyn. Let us know if you think that's a good idea. We would love to get some feedback on that.
Absolutely. And shout out to our UK listeners. We have our second biggest country of listeners is the UK.
Oh my God, I love
that. And I'm just like, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. But we see
where else would it be? Brazil? I love a big listener to be in Brazil.
I know. I want people to comment.
Hi from Brazil. Like,
can we translate this podcast to Portuguese?
I'll work on it.
That's your next
thing. Yeah, you know, that's my next thing.
Girls is huge in Brazil.
But thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you had fun. We'll be back again next week with episode 8 of season 1. Have an amazing week. Sending love and light.
Bye.
Bye.